just I was inspired by entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. I was, I mean, my it started with my mother. You know, she ran her own hairdressing salon in East Germany, in a country where entrepreneurship basically didn't exist. Yeah, so she, against all the odds, against all the problems and challenges, she stood up and opened her own hairdressing salon. Yeah, which I found fascinating. After we migrated to West Germany, we had I had relatives. They run their own engineering office, yeah? And I was inspired by their freedom, by their possibility. And
welcome to another episode of Executive Health and Life. I'm your host Julian Hayes II, back at it again with, of course, another fascinating guest. And one of my favorite movie franchises is Mission Impossible. And, you know, I love the soundtracks. It's on my workout playlist. And everything about the movies, I love them, right? In this latest movie, the villain was AI. It was called The Entity.
Oh, yeah. And, I saw it.
And it knew your every move before even you knew it. And in this movie, AI is portrayed as a scary thing, you know? And so fast forward to real life. Luckily, it's not like that right now. I don't think it ever will be, but who knows? AI is something that has infiltrated nearly every single industry and is steadily becoming a part of our daily lives. And this brings me to my guest today. He states that those who leverage AI will thrive while others risk falling behind. The age of AI is here, but how do we leverage it? And that's what I'm talking about to my guest today, Sebastian Schick. And
well pronounced.
Awesome. Awesome. I will, you know, that's a very important thing. I practice that. So Sebastian is an entrepreneur, CEO, mentor, and coach, and an angel investor, and the host of the High Performance CEO Show. He's founded, ran, and grew multiple seven-figure companies. He's laser again now on artificial intelligence, and he's helping us top performers leverage AI for peak productivity, amongst many, many other things. So without further ado, the man, the myth, the legend, Sebastian, how's it going?
Oh my God, not the legend. Eh? Thanks for having me on your show, brother. It's a pleasure for me. I mean, we had a discussion on my show a couple of months ago, which was amazing. And I really appreciate you having me on your show. And before we start, I mean, I watched all the episodes of Mission Impossible with my kids in my last summer holiday. You know, I mean, they really wanted to get the whole story. So we watched everything from A to Z, and yes, finally, and the last one we saw on the cinema, you know, the AI one, which was a bit creepy actually. But
so the question now is, what's your favorite Mission Impossible?
I still think one of the first ones, you know.
Okay.
Or even the first one where he's on this train, you know, and the helicopter mm-hmm. comes and this plate is stopping and right in front of his throat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but my kids loved them all, obviously, and it was a great experience.
Yeah, see, I'm torn because Fallout, which is number 6, mm-hmm. that's, if you're just thinking about action, that's by far the best one. It's just nonstop action. But then I really like 5 because I think it's more balanced. It has still a lot of good action, but the story is just, it's a little bit better. So probably for me, I'm leaning toward 5 as my favorite. Number 2 is not my favorite. It's not really most people's favorites, but that's because of the director. But I mean, they're really all good. Yeah. They're really all good. That's the cool thing, right? There's something about each of the movies that is really good. And mm-hmm. most franchises don't do that. I'm thinking of Fast and the Furious, where it's, can't say it's for quality at that point. So good job for Tom Cruise. Salute to him.
Yeah, it's amazing. Amazing job. Yeah.
You know, so before we talk about the present, I always love to go back in the past. And you had an interesting past. So I remember as a little boy, you know, watching TV and seeing the wall fall. I didn't really know what this thing was falling, but I just saw, hey, this, a lot of people seem to be happy, so I guess it's a good thing.
And I was behind the wall.
Yeah. And so, you know, you grew up behind that wall, right? Yeah, and I haven't really talked to too many people who grew up actually behind that wall. So growing up during that time, I think everybody's asked you, what was it like? So I'm going to try to say, what is maybe one or two of things that you've taken away from that that's been a benefit to your life?
Community. In Eastern Germany, it was a very, it's 30 odd years ago, you know, it's a long time. We had more community. So community was actually the most important thing, positive thing I remember from growing up in East Germany, because in a country where there is shortage, there is a common theme, in this case, communism, and people who have one common goal, to be free and to see the world and live in a free society, they stick together. You know, they really help each other and support each other. And this is one of the most important learnings I have from this time, that community is very important. And we should really intentionally build our communities and support each other. And this really was the thing I remember most from growing up behind the wall. And obviously, I mean, I was young, you know, I didn't really suffer so much like older people who have been longer in the system. I'm actually quite happy that when the wall came down, I was 13, that I wasn't older. Because if I would be older, I maybe would have stepped up against the system and then I maybe would have ended up in prison or whatever, you know. So it was good timing for me. But the wall came down and we sort of took the opportunity and migrated to West Germany.
So when you're making that trek over to West Germany, do you remember kind of like just the initial like stark contrast of things?
Yeah, I mean, obviously as a young kid, you see that life is much different. Yeah, this scarcity mentality which you had in East Germany wasn't present in Western Europe or Western Germany. You had everything you wanted you could buy in a supermarket, in a shop, you know, which was not the case in East Germany. Also, obviously, the freedom, the ability to travel, you know, to go anywhere in the world. I mean, suddenly you could travel, you could fly to America, you could see any country you could think of. And this was obviously the biggest change and the biggest positive thing for me as a young boy.
You know, okay, so, you know, as I was going through your bio and everything, I saw that you never had like a quote unquote conventional job, you know, and I'm curious, was that by accident or did you just kind of have this mentality just as a boy or something that just like, you know, I'm just that what other people are doing is just not for me?
I wouldn't say at this time, I would say it wasn't for me. It's just, I was inspired by entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. It started with my mother, you know, she ran her own hairdressing salon in East Germany, in a country where entrepreneurship basically didn't exist. Yeah? So she, against all the odds, against all the problems and challenges, she stood up and opened her own hairdressing salon, yeah, which I found fascinating. After we migrated to West Germany, we had had relatives. They run their own engineering office, yeah? And I was inspired by their freedom, by their possibility, and I just thought, hey, I also want to be my own boss. I want to create something. I want to build something. I want to, have my own company. So I never really had a real full-time job. I mean, I had holiday jobs as a student. I had some summer jobs, you know, in factories and all kind of stuff what I did. But I studied and to finance my studying, I worked as a freelancer, as an IT freelancer. And then I basically transitioned into full freelancing. And in year 2000, I started my first company. And then, Sam, I never had a, I actually had a situation where a friend of mine asked me, hey, when do you want to get a real job, you know? And I just thought, what do you mean by a real job?
The good old real job. We all love that question. It, you know, I think that's when you know you're official, or you know, is when you get the question. So when do you think you're going to maybe stop this thing you're doing and maybe just go get a real job?
Exactly. Yeah. Never.
That's a rite of passage. Yeah, that's pretty much just a rite of passage. I think everyone has heard that. I mean, I still kind of hear that now. You know, so it's part of the territory. Okay, so you mentioned 2000. That's the treasury management company, right?
Exactly. It didn't start with a treasury management topic. I started as a, I wanted to basically build a team of freelancers, which I then lent out to companies in the IT space. But okay, as everyone knows, the year 2000 was sort of the a big dip in the IT industry after Y2K. Yeah, and honestly, I didn't really like the idea of just body leasing. Yeah, so I basically was the only employee for 2 years, and I did contracts and projects in the IT space. And then I sort of, by accident, or was at the right time at the right place, got into a topic called treasury management. Yeah, basically managing financial risks and cash for big corporates and banks. And yeah, this was my my first big endeavor, first company I founded. I grew. I actually ran for over 20 years, and was an amazing journey as an entrepreneur. Big learnings, interesting contracts, I really enjoyed this time. Next to this, I started another company focused on digital transformation projects for mid-sized organizations, where we basically implemented digital systems, digital processes, collaboration into corporates. Then I started to become an angel investor, started investing into startups, into a small organization, which I'm still doing, helping them grow. And yeah, and this is basically it's a journey you go through. And now at a stage where I sort of stopped the active consulting phase, you know, where I had teams and stuff, and focus on my investments, but also focus on mentoring other entrepreneurs, other CEOs. I did a lot of leadership and team development work in this space. And when I interviewed you, I was in New Zealand. Yeah, so I had took a time off with my family and had an amazing experience for my kids. They went to an English speaking school and experienced a different culture. And then I came back. And it was a shock for me, actually. And now coming back to Western Europe, yeah. I mean, living in New Zealand for half a year is a different pace. Yeah, it's a completely different pace. Everything is so laid back, and then you come back to busy Western Europe. And then I thought, hey, I gotta change something, you know. Mm-hmm. It actually felt overwhelming to me. Yeah, which is very strange, living here for 40 plus years, but this break and experiencing a different culture really made me think. So I came back and said, okay, what can I do to up my game, yeah, in terms of productivity and in terms of working smarter and using more leverage? Mm-hmm. And yeah, and then I basically... I was using AI for a while, end of spring last year, I decided, hey, this is this is something which could really have a difference in people's life if we use it right. Mm-hmm. And then I start doubling down on this, and it's an amazing journey. You know, it's I have a tech background, I have an IT background, so I and a business background, of course. So I really can make the connection between IT, business, and I see how we can leverage this technology to create more value as entrepreneurs, to create more value for our customers, but also to optimize our own processes, to create more free time, and reduce cognitive overload,
and that's what it's really about. And yeah. I'm going to come back to the AI thing, but one thing as a mentor and coach who has a vast amount of experience now, and for a lot of entrepreneurs out there, this may be their first endeavor, or this may be maybe like their second after the first one didn't go so well. So what are some of the early things that you usually work with early stage entrepreneurs on? What's some of the first things that they need to really kind of work on to really kind of give themselves the best chance of having a business that can last and thrive for decades?
I mean, it always comes back to the mindset. You know, to how do we approach things? How do we look at challenges? You know, is this something which pulls us down, or is it something which drives us? And then we all fail. Yeah, I mean, I've failed so many times in my life, but using this failure as a catalyst, using this failure as something which helps us to grow, to develop new skills, and to grow as individuals and entrepreneurs. This is the most important thing. I mean, all these startups I'm invested in, they had various changes, pivotal changes in their direction. You know, they started with one idea, but they had to adapt. They had to see, okay, the market is going in a different direction, so I have to change my approach. And this is one of the most important skills. You have to stay flexible, to stay agile, and to really see the market and adapt. And this is also one of the biggest skills young people have. You know, they are not working for corporate for 20 plus years and only done one thing, you know, and work in one department. And the agility, the right mindset, the growth mindset, being able to learn. Yeah, I mean, we live in a world which is constantly changing, which is constantly evolving. I mean, the speed of change. I mean, look at last year in the AI world. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, no one has ever experienced this speed of change, and it's just starting. You know, it's not slowing down, and being able to manage, being able to deal with the change and adapt your business and your focus is very crucial, I think.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that when you talk about just, first of all, last year with the AI and just how it's pretty much infiltrated every thing. You know, in the health industry now, there's so many awesome breakthroughs with AI now, and some of these I'm using now already, in terms of being able to give even more precise, I would say, diagnostics when it comes to certain aspects of our health now, which is fascinating. The second thing is we know that change is good, but a lot of times we have this hesitancy or maybe a stubbornness to change. And so my question is, why do you think change is so hard for a lot of us entrepreneurs at times? Is it something ego related, or is it something else? What do you think?
Yeah, it's a very good question. I mean, often we entrepreneurs, we have our idea. Yeah, we have our focus. We want to get something done. And this, of course, it has a certain element of ego and stubbornness, that we really want to achieve a certain goal and want to create a certain solution. And often, if we see that hey, there's no market for that, we wait too long to adopt. Mm-hmm. And this is what it's really hard to change, to accept that an idea we have, it's not working and we have to move on. But this is just how life is.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and speaking of moving on, one thing, and, you know, we've mentioned it a couple of times, is this thing with artificial intelligence. And so probably one of the first things I imagine that you, I don't know if you say it's a barrier, but it's kind of like a, almost like a barrier, is people that are hesitant mm-hmm. about AI, this type of technology and everything. It seems too difficult or afraid. So, how do you deal with people who kind of have this hesitancy with embracing AI?
You have to understand how it works. You have to understand what it's all about. And it's not only AI. I had an interesting conversation today, actually, with a client. And he said, yeah, he doesn't want to create a world where a bot is speaking with a bot. And I completely agree. Yeah, this is not the purpose. This is not this should not be the end game. What I think is it's a phrase called human assisted AI. Yeah, so that we use AI as a leverage, something which, I mean, for example, we all know that creating content on social media is important. And but how often have you been in a situation where, oh, you want to write something, you want to write a post, and it just doesn't flow, you know? And then you say, oh, yeah, I'll do it later, and then you never do it.
Huh? All the time.
All the time. So what if there would be an AI which would create a post, but give it to you for review, and then you basically create something, you review it, you modify it, and then you send it off. I mean, this speeds up the process of creating, and this is just a small example, the process of creating something from maybe half an hour to a few seconds. Yeah? And then you spend a minute or so reviewing it, and then it's done. And this is the leverage I'm speaking about. You know, it's the overcoming this... overcoming the mental blockage we often have, overcoming the procrastination, overcoming this, oh, I will do this later, and we never do it later. Yeah, using all these tools as leverage to speed things up, but still with a human element. I'm not saying that we should automate everything, that we don't look at it, and that we automatically create stuff on LinkedIn, and then other bots are commenting on this, and then it's just an AI to AI conversation. No, this is not what we want. What we want is leveraging AI as a tool mm-hmm. to speed things up, to create more time for the more important things, more strategic things in our work.
You know, and that makes sense. And also, you know, it frees up stuff to do in business, but probably most importantly for a lot of us, it frees up stuff in our personal life, whether that's more time with family,
exactly,
more time for our health, more time for whatever else you're into. And plus, a lot of things for me, when I've looked at AI right now and the way I use it, I'm using it for things I don't like to do, really. Or I'm using it for things I don't like to do, and it helps me do it in less time. So I'm not really in love with creating content for social. I love...
Me neither.
I love podcasting. I love podcast interviewing. Mm-hmm. I love writing articles. But as far as getting involved on a timeline and that kind of stuff, that's not really my thing.
Yeah.
And so AI is very beneficial in that. It's very beneficial, almost like having a Jarvis, if we're thinking Iron Man, where it's helping me brainstorm certain things. So I think it's a very good assistant. And so if you're a bootstrapping entrepreneur, this is essentially saving you money. Is kind of how I think about it a little bit. Instead of having to immediately go out and hire for certain roles, you can probably hold off on that a little bit and leverage AI in that context.
It's an assistant, it's a consultant. I mean, I mean, how often did I in the past pay a lawyer to draft me a contract, you know? Mm-hmm. And in the end, I'm responsible for the contract, you know? He just say, okay, that's my suggestion, but you use it, it's your responsibility, yeah? So, I mean, now you create the contract with AI. And if you compare to the contracts you get from a lawyer, it's not much difference, you know? And if you are responsible for it anyway, why paying so much money to a lawyer for standard business? You know, I mean, there are always mm-hmm. more complicated things, but for standard contract, hey, I mean, it's all available nowadays.
Absolutely.
Thinking about brainstorming, yeah? How often do we have a fixed idea on something? Yeah, but talking to an LLM like ChatGPT or Bard or whatever opens up so many different views on a certain topic. Yeah, I mean, we all biased. Yeah, mm-hmm. but discussing this with a ChatGPT system and maybe also getting responses from a different angle and from a different persona. It's amazing. I run a marketing consultancy for 5-6 years, and we often created buyer personas. You know, I mean, this was a tedious process. You put yourself in a room with 4 or 5 people. You talk about a buyer persona. I hated these processes, you know, because, I mean, it's so energy draining. Now, I created a bot, and I mean, it's not only faster, it's much better, you know? You get different angles and different views I never thought of, you know, when talking about buyer personas for business or product. And I think there's the leverage, there's the power, you know, to get more things done in a shorter period of time.
And so... when you're talking to a CEO, that's maybe a more established CEO and stuff, and maybe it's a little more, you know, corporate moves a little slower than you know, a startup will. Is the approach different when you're consulting when you're consulting them? How do you go about that then?
The concerns of more established companies and concerns are valid. They are more focused on privacy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're afraid that confidential information is released to the public. They are afraid that they use their information to train the AI. And this is a very valid concern, but there are solutions, you know. You're not using a public ChatGPT for your business data. There are more enhanced versions. There are private GPTs you can use where your data is safe and you can build your own knowledge base. I imagine there's often so much institutional knowledge in organizations, in documents, in presentations, in databases. What a wealth of knowledge and what a treasure. Using this information and creating your own bots, your own large language models, which then you can use to train your people, which then you can use to make use of everything you have. I mean, there's the power. You know, this is. I mean, I'm in business for 30 plus years. And how often did I work in an organization? How often did we implement a knowledge management system? But those things always fail because people have to put in things manually. They have to follow a process. And it's often a big challenge. But now, taking all this information, feeding it into an AI, and having a body of knowledge in your organization, which you can... chat with, you know, where you can create offers based on previous projects without the need to remember everything. I mean, there's the power. And this is the cool thing is this is all available. And this doesn't cost a fortune. It's everyone can start. And it's an equal playing field. So this the democratization of AI and the availability for everyone. That's the power, and also for small startups, they can use this. They can implement their build their own bots in no time.
So building your own bot, that is a you program it to based on your preferences for what? Let's say semi. Yeah,
imagine you have all your knowledge documented in Word documents, in web pages, in podcasts, in YouTube videos. Yeah, what you created in the last years you've been in business. And what are you doing with all this knowledge? Do you remember everything you said or you done 5-6 years ago? Difficult, probably not.
Right.
But imagine you can take all this knowledge and create your own Julian bot, mm-hmm. And have a conversation with this bot.
Okay.
Offer it to your customers as an additional service. I mean, I often work with coaches, and they say, yeah, they are afraid that AI is taking over their job. And I said, yeah, of course. I mean, there is a certain risk that clients leverage these bots for coaching, for consultation, instead of going and paying high fees to coach. But what if the coach would extend his offerings, his personal coaching offerings, and offer a bot which is available 24/7, mm-hmm. fed with his own knowledge? I mean, how great would this be for the customers? Yeah, they not only get personal assistance and personal support, they can also rely on a virtual Julian 24/7.
Yeah, so I had a speaking of that, that's just one of the ways that a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs could leverage AI. I also, when I think of this and I'm hearing this, I'm thinking this is a great way to kind of counteract the companies that maybe are in your industry that have a bigger budget, more resources, but they're not as resourceful as you can be. So this is a way for you to play catch up or even take advantage of exactly. them being slow. And so just to share some more ways with listeners, what are some other aspects, like when you're working with someone, what are some other different types of ways that you're getting them to kind of approach their work now differently in different aspects by leveraging this artificial intelligence and other applications?
Yeah. So it starts with planning and goal setting, for example. Yeah. I love doing my yearly or quarterly goal setting processes, and leveraging a large language model to review your goals and to make sure that your estimates for your projects or endeavors are correct. It's the first thing. Yeah. I mean, it's so enlightening to having a conversational partner in this case and bot to review your ideas and to get different views. Then the whole talking about marketing and sales, content generation. I'm not saying we should use AI to write all of our content, but to overcome this writing block, to give you ideas, to start the process, to give you a rough draft, and then you can refine this, speeds up the process enormously. Yeah. I have a process. I often share articles on LinkedIn. How do I do this? Well, I have an AI feed, a system which presents me hundreds of articles each day which are available. I look through these articles. I see, okay, this is interesting for my audience. This is interesting. Then I write a short summary, a few ideas I would like to present with this article, so my own viewpoints. Then I have an AI which creates from my own ideas a nicely drafted post. Then I review the post and I schedule it. It takes me minutes instead of sometimes half an hour to get something done, in, depending on the state you're in. Yeah,
that sounds interesting. I might have to look into that. That sounds interesting. It's a source that's sourcing a lot of information and ideas, and it's a way to also keep you on top of what's going on in your industry or industries that you are are curious about. So I really like that one.
Then using bots to support your sales process. Yeah, having a 24/7 sales bot available on your website is one thing. Adding bots and AI to your portfolio for your customers as a coach, as a consultant, what we mentioned before, is something which is very important and very helpful. Automation, all these tedious, uninteresting jobs we all of entrepreneurs have to do, you know, you can speed them up tenfold with automation and AI. You know, I mean, of course, there's a bit of a tech stack involved, but what we do is, I mean, I run a program and productivity accelerator for CEOs where we basically deliver everything for you. Yeah, so you don't have to go through this overwhelming process of learning everything, of understanding, becoming an AI expert. That's not the point. I mean, you need to focus on your business and leverage what is available, and we basically give this to you on a silver plate.
Okay.
I mean, there are countless of opportunities. For example, my podcast, we leverage AI in a way I never thought in the past. I mean, the conversation we record, and then we have a transcript. And this transcript is the source for all the content we create. Mm-hmm. I created a bot which takes the transcript, so it's my own words. There's nothing artificially generated, but it takes the transcript and creates a LinkedIn post, creates a blog post, creates headlines, creates everything. Of course, it has to be reviewed. You look at it and you check it. But 80-90% of the work is done.
Yeah.
And this is how you can scale. Yeah, this is how you can. I mean, I had in the past, I had a company with 20 plus employees in my former business. Now I run this with a very small team, but with a tremendous leverage, tremendous output, and it's amazing.
Wow, that's amazing. That's very interesting. And you mentioned there on one of the services that you offered. I noticed on your website you have three distinct services or three ways that you could kind of service people.
Yeah.
And so, would you like to go into each of those? Just to explain.
Yeah, I can. I mean, we have a free community. Yeah, it's the AIMasteryMovement.com, which is a community to exchange ideas, to connect with each other, to discuss ideas, and to really learn about AI. Then, for people who are more focused and want to get things done, we have an AI productivity program. It's a 90-day program where we help you leverage AI in a way you never thought of in the past. I mean, I shared some ideas, and this is just a small glimpse of what is possible when you use the right processes and the right tools. Yeah, so we train you, we help you speeding up your review processes, your content delivery processes, your sales processes. So we have a very holistic program for CEOs, and then I run a mastermind also for CEOs, which is a one in a month mastermind event where we connect CEOs with each other. They share their challenges, they discuss use cases, and they learn from each other. And it's an amazing community of executives where we maybe all have a common goal in mastering AI. Yeah, so basically the entrance is the AI mastery movement. It's a free community. I invite everyone listening to this podcast, join us. Then we have our productivity program and a mastermind.
Awesome. I want to go back to something earlier, and you mentioned angel investing and everything. And what are some of the 2 to 3 things that you look for in each one? No matter, I know situations are going to be different, but I'm sure that sometimes there's a few things that always are going to be there every single time.
Of course. I mean, I need to really be on fire with the topic. Yeah, they need to really solve a problem in the world, and I need to associate with this problem and with the solution. So I wouldn't invest in something I have no expertise in, or I don't see as a real topic, and I'm not on fire. So the problem, of course, and the solution is one of the most important things. But then, what is even more important for me is the team. It's the energy, is the dedication, is the people behind. Because we all know that directions change, market change. And you have to, as we talked in the beginning, you know, you have to stay agile. You have to be able to pivot. You have to be able to change direction. And you have to put in everything you've got. And having the right mindset, the right energy, is for me one of the most important things. I mean, one of my investments, the CEOs there are, and it's always a strange situation. You sit in the at the notary, and then you they read the contract, and then they read the birthdays of the founders. And last time it was 2000, 2002. And I said, my God, you know, I mean, I know exactly what I did in 2000 or 2002, you know, and they've just been born. Yeah. So, but they have such a tremendous energy. And I consider myself as high energy, but when I talk to them, you know, I just say, oh my God, there's still age is something which really makes a difference.
Yeah.
And so personality is one of the most important things for me when I invest in an organization.
You know, I always say that, you know, one of the anti-aging longevity secrets is actually just to really kind of have a very diverse circle. And a lot of us know the concept of having mentors and people, you know, a little older than us for wisdom, right? But for me, I've noticed recently that I've started to be connected and add people that are just younger. Like 21, 22 now. And just the energy. I mean, I'm a pretty high energy guy, but their energy, because everything's just exciting. Everything's a new experience. Everything's optimistic about everything, right?
Yeah.
They haven't been jaded by anything. And so that's something that can almost like reinvigorate yourself. And so I encourage listeners out there to kind of think about your circles when you are have people older than you, have peers around your age, but then also have people at the very beginning of the journey as well, because the energy is going to be different. And a lot of times we've been doing this for so long, or a few years now, that we forgot what that excitement was like at that beginning stage. And And so talking about health right now, one of the things is to even be able to be in your position right now of doing this for a couple decades, you've had to take care of your health, because you can only lead as much as your health allows. So how do you keep yourself well and ensuring that you can perform at your best?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And I definitely... there's a lot people can do, yeah, but in the end, it comes down to a couple of key elements. Yeah, one is sleep. I mean, I learned that if I don't sleep well, I can't perform. Yeah, so I'm wearing this Oura Ring here for a couple of years, and this really helped me understand what impacts my sleep. Yeah? How can I how can I prepare myself to have a restful night, to have the energy the next day? Very important thing. I mean, in general, you can't manage what you don't measure. Yeah, so I'm an advocate of all these wearable devices. I have a watch, I have this ring, and measuring your KPIs and really understanding how they relate to your behavior, like exercise, like eating, drinking alcohol. How does it affect your well-being? And of course, I mean, diet is a very important topic. So I realized that, I mean, we just came off the Christmas period, you know. So December and beginning of January, we had a couple of events in our family. It's a time where I eat more than I should. I mean, this is this is something which I recognize, but I still think, okay, that's how it is. But now it's a different time again. Yeah. So now I really have to come back to the clean diet, to conscious eating, which is important. And then of course exercise. I do various type of activities. I regularly go to the gym. I play pickleball, which has just started in New Zealand, which is very popular in the US and is now coming to Europe. I do cycling, I do swimming, I play tennis. So I really try to stay active. I have a Peloton bike here in my office, which I haven't used recently, but I will do again. I have a protocol of certain supplement I take. And yeah, I mean, this is a process which I constantly work on and constantly improve. But it's important to have a conscious process and a routine. Otherwise, you drift. And I've been there as well. I have times when I drift, when I don't consciously do certain things regarding my health. Absolutely. And then you realize that you gain weight, sleep worse. You don't have the energy you need. You are grumpy and not focused. And it's so visible, you know. And there are small changes. And I always say, okay, it's like habits. You know, you can have a habit which takes you in one direction, small incremental improvements. Which in the end lead to a greater version of yourself. But you can also have a habit which goes in a different direction, small incremental decreases in whatever you don't do right. And these small steps you don't realize when you go through the process. But when you look at yourself 5 years ago and now, when you've gone in the wrong direction, there's really a difference. So being conscious and implementing, having a protocol, having a routine, and consciously doing things which help you, with things which help your body and your mind, is very important.
Absolutely. Absolutely on that. And you host a podcast as well. And you've interviewed a lot of awesome people. And what has podcasting benefited you? What's been your favorite thing about it?
For me, it's an amazing networking tool. I meet so many interesting people. I learn a lot talking to these individuals. It's a great journey. It's been incredible. And as you said, I mean, I had the pleasure of really getting very interesting people on my show. And now we reach a state where we get so many requests from different platforms, from agencies presenting us people to want to be interviewed. So I actually have a long list of candidates I want to interview, and it's great. It's an amazing networking tool, and it's for me the best way of meeting new interesting people.
Yeah, I can relate with that, with the agencies and all those people now and everything. I did have to, I made sure I took my show off some of those lists, those places and stuff, just because it was getting too many. And they're always asked, like, what type of person do you want? And it's hard for me to explain, because normally this is probably not good. This is how you can tell I'm not a professional podcaster, and like, podcasting is not my business, because I interview so many different people, and you know, I go back and forth between like some very in-depth biohacking topic to talking about startups or something, right? And I love both worlds. I really love both worlds. And usually the people that I interview is people that I reach out to or people I want to have a conversation with. And so, much like you, this is kind of a awesome thing that is for networking, it's for building relationships. I think it's also something that I think in the future, this is almost a way that almost any individual is, I think, is a great way to kind of let somebody know who you are. I don't like the word personal brand, but it kind of is a personal brand.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's good for any business and any tool, just to people get to hear you. Even if it's five people every week that hear you. I mean, if you went to, you did public speaking. I did public speaking before, and it was five people. And one of those people was someone who I wanted to talk with. And so it was a benefit. So it's just the same as public speaking, except you don't have to drive anywhere. So that's kind of how I think about this.
Exactly. And it's a global thing, you know. It's I interview people from all over the world, and this is such an amazing, we're living in such an amazing time. Yeah. So much abundance, so many opportunities. Yeah. So many things we can do.
Yeah, because
best time to be alive.
If you think about it, there's no other way that we would be connected. Think how many, how expansive this time zone is right now that we're talking right now. Yeah. And so that's just a really cool thing to think about. And it's, we probably take it for granted now because we're just so accustomed to it, right? Just to, let's just hop on a Zoom. Let's just do that. And if you pause and think about it, like, you're having a conversation with someone that's halfway across the world from you right now. With no problem.
And no money involved, no cost involved.
Yeah, just nothing.
Yeah.
So what does success mean to you?
What does success mean to me? I think the most important thing is that you really enjoy what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that you get up in the morning and have fun and really have a passion you can live and create value. Everything else comes automatically. I mean, financial results come when you create value. And when you create value, when you're passionate, when you do the right thing, when you have fun. I don't want to do something I don't enjoy just for the money. Mm-hmm. It's not what I want. I want to have fun. I want to have really... do something I see a purpose in.
I can agree with that. I can absolutely agree with that, and I can attest to that. And because there was an opportunity for me to where if that's when I decided, or I was actually, I figured out that, oh, it's not just about the money, because if I went this direction, it would have been much more instantaneous compared to the direction that I chose instead. So that's a good lesson. It's hard to do at the beginning, I'm sure.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. It's hard to do at the beginning. I definitely understand that. So, one of the last question here is, someone comes up to you at the cafe and you're waiting in line. Are you a coffee, tea guy, latte? What kind of guy are you?
It depends on the time, actually.
Okay. It's 10 a.m.
Then I would probably have a coffee. Yeah.
Okay. So you're in line at the cafe. It's 10 a.m. And somebody taps you on the shoulder, they recognize you, and you're a celebrity, and they ask you, you know, what are, you know, three things that I can do to start living a more fulfilling and abundant life, and while I'm still building up my company, what would you tell them?
Never give up. It's the first thing. Mm-hmm. Never ever give up. If there's something, I mean, there can be the conscious decision to stop something which doesn't work, but if you really believe in something, then you should not give up. I mean, I never ever give up in something I really want to push through. It's not an option. I fail many times, but I always get up and try again. Maybe adjust it. I obviously adjust the direction, but I try again. So this is one of the most important lessons which I learned and which I also give to others. And then what we just saw, do something you really believe in and something you love doing. Not just do this for the money. Money comes when you create value. Money comes automatically, but don't. I know so many people who are having high-paid corporate jobs. They hate their life. They have no future. I mean, they believe they have no future. Yeah, it's always a belief. They have a future, but they're so stuck in this corporate, in this organization. But I think, yeah, I mean, I have to be here. I have to stay here because this is where my money comes from, and there's nothing else. So they're slowly dying and very, very difficult. So really do something you believe in and you have passion. And of course, I think another important thing is be grateful. You know, there are so many also small things in life where we can be grateful about, and we have to focus on them because, I mean, your mind is always looking for something which is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there are also many things which are right. You know, and but we have to look for them. We have to intentionally say thank you for the small good things that happens in our lives, which also has a great impact on our well-being and our ability and our how we feel and how we show up in life.
I love those 3 points. Where can listeners keep up with you?
I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. Yeah, where you can connect with me. As I said, join our community, AIMasteryMovement.com. I mean, you find me there.
And I will have all those links in the show notes. And so until next time, listeners out there, stay awesome, be limitless, and always go be the CEO of your health and your life. Peace.